from now on. So why don't you get Mark Evans on, Carl?
Well, let's do that. He's on the Laws of the Game Committee.
He is the law of the game.
We've been talking about this all week and we're still going. How are you?
Yeah, it's amazing that sometimes you get on a run with these things and it's become such a good debating point. But I think I caught the second half of your conversation then. I think you've contextualised most of it, and that is, for the game's sake, it's a good free kick to pay. Whether we've been consistent enough over a period of years on this is debatable, and I think we probably have failed the communication that there is something more than just pressure. And you've got it right. If a player is further away from goal, it doesn't feel like we should allow them to do that. And if they've had time and space to do something else, then we don't think you can just soak up the pressure. But look, we're not after an interpretation change mid-season. That's more for review at the end of the year.
So just to clarify, it's not just about the pressure applied. I'm just reading from your press release here, or the AFL's press release, Mark. It's also distance out, time and space to dispose of the ball. So that'll be the interpretation moving forward before an end of the season review.
It certainly is what is supposed to have been happening for the last couple of years. And after round eight, we sent out a memo to all clubs saying, we think we've missed a couple. We think we've dropped off on this. And we did there in that presentation put down about the distance and whether you've had the opportunity to do something else. So, look, we'll see very few of these. I think there have been four free kicks the entire year. And it's highly unlikely you'll see anybody, you know, top of the square or further out. Just do a big handball over the top of people's heads through the goal line. So I don't expect it to be a problem, and then we'll look at the law at the end of the year.
Mark, I'd assume you've seen some of the game from last night, but already it seems like the players have adjusted anyway. I saw a couple of instances where perhaps last week they would have taken it through for a behind, but they kept the ball in play and the game was better for it.
No doubt, but again, that certainly happens around the boundary line as well. I think sometimes when you see the deliberate out of bounds, and you know a couple of those have been really tough on the player, but when you see the play after that, it actually does become quite exciting, and players do seem to be able to keep the ball alive. Again, though, that's more for clarity at the end of the year if we are going to change that interpretation.
Mark, a couple of quick ones relating to umpiring, and then we'll move on to other issues. There's so many things we could chat to you about, but double-jointed, do you think the standard of umpiring this season is okay? And do umpires get some direction weekly or even now and again to crack down on certain infringements or actions over a particular round?
So not to crack down. The crackdown would suggest that that you're actually asking umpires to deviate significantly from one round to another. I described it to someone this week as it's like fine-tuning. If you're a tightrope walker and you can feel there's a slide over balance, then it's an adjustment to bring you back to level. It's not supposed to throw you completely the other way. And so umpiring coaching is a lot about here are examples where we got it right, but here's where we got it wrong. If you just put up here's where we got it wrong, here's where we got it wrong, here's where we got it wrong, then you can have these big shifts in decision making. So even coaches of AFL clubs will tell you when they're talking to players about a concept, sometimes you can get an overreaction, and in umpiring you really try and avoid that. The first part of your question was around umpiring quality. Look, we measure that, and there are differences from round to round, and some rounds we're particularly unhappy with how it's gone as an average, but for the most part, those statistics would track the same as they did last year. It really does come down to sometimes the media attention on something as to how well you think something went, and sometimes that can be because even in a low-error game, it may have had an impact on the scoreboard that people felt it impacted the game.
Mark, while we're on umpires and statistics, I believe, from what I was reliably informed, that in the bye rounds, four umpires were trialled, that there was very little by way of error improvement. They were still running almost as far as what they were running when we have three umpires involved in a game. So there was no really significant value that came out of it, I believe, other than umpire recovery.
There were some really good points about it. It would make sense that if you've got four sets of eyes, then you can get yourself into different positions to be able to pick up on some of the missed free kicks, and that happened. So we had a slight reduction in the missed free kicks, but we didn't see in the total balance of free kicks, correct, missed and unwarranted, we didn't see a great change where we would have liked to have. we saw a significant drop-off, probably 10% less distance run by each umpire. And probably the real important part about that is it came out of their intense running levels. So what it means is the umpires are in better position earlier, and you would think that over time that means that in a four-umpire system, you'd get better eyes around the contest and a better result, even though in the 18-game trial it came out equal to previous. Pleasingly, though, there was no issue with the four-umpire system, nothing reported from players or coaches that would say it had any detriment. So where we go from here is difficult to work out, and I'll present that to the commission over the course of the year.
It would be at a cost of about $500,000, though, wouldn't it, if it does get implemented?
I haven't even tried to cost it, because to me it was about trying to prove that it won things worse and hopefully make things better. So there are certainly some benefits in it, and whether you would move to a four umpire system off the back of that trial or not, or whether we continue to trial it or use it for more marquee games. Someone at the Laws of the Game Committee on Thursday said, would it be something you'd do for finals? But I have a concern as to whether coaches and players would be comfortable with that or not, and we'll talk to that to them about the across the rest of the year.
Mark, as footy operations general manager of the whole competition, what's your opinion on the in-season clandestine meetings of players with opposition authorities like coaches, chief executives, footy list managers, as has happened with Brad Hill and Tom Rockliffe in the recent couple of weeks?
You're talking about people talking to players?
Meeting with them in season, yeah.
Yeah. My view is it ought to be done rarely. If you think it needs to be done, that it ought to be done rarely and as discreet as possible. I accept in our system, we go straight from the season into the immediate trade and free agency period. So I can understand that there, before a player and a club decided that would be something that they would look at, that you might want to have a meeting about it. But I would have thought you go to every length for it to be as discreet as possible, and I would think you would only do it very rarely.
Are we closer to a mid-season trade then with some of these activities that are becoming public? If we expect more and more, should we have something more formal?
We have had that discussion with a group in the last couple of months of clubs and AFL representatives looking at the future of list management, and it was one of the things that came up, is there a trade period or a mid-season draft? The mid-season draft, when it was in play, was very rarely used. And the question was, could you have a mid-season trade period? Would that be beneficial to some clubs at the bottom of the ladder, because clubs at the top of the ladder might potentially overpay to try and help them secure a finals berth or go better in the finals?
Mark, I've been interested just following, obviously there's the new the CBA for next year, but just following the free agency argument as well. And I guess to address the perceived imbalance in power between clubs and players, I was interested to read that some of the clubs are advocating a no consent trading of contracted players, I guess because of the number of players that have requested a move whilst in contract. Have you heard that one, and what's your view?
Yeah, it was also part of the discussion that came up as part of the meeting I was talking about with the clubs and the AFL, looking at futuristic views. There's a view from the players, I think, that they'd like to reduce the years of eligibility for free agency. And clubs said, well, if you were going to do that, then we think you should also bring in trade without consent, maybe restricted in that it could be for a player's last year of a contract where he's not agreed to extend or something. But my thoughts are, right now, we've had free agency for only just a few years, and my view would be to let it run as it is and only go to that if we felt it was going to be beneficial.
Now, while we're on the AFLPA, they want two buys, yet, Mark, I see that the AFL's asked, even though we've asked stakeholders for submissions for the 2017 fixture, the grand final's going to be on the 30th of September, and I read with interest that it's going to be played over 23 rounds. That means no two buys.
Well, no, it did say use the current season as a template and provide us your submission. So I think we probably know what the PA submission will be. But it was more to, we have to get a start on the fixture, and we have to try and consider all of the things as part of that. And we just said use the current season as a template.
Have you got a master plan on how you can stop the players from throwing the ball out of packs and that we can see it and the umpires can't?
Well, perhaps I could put umpires into the stands with cameras at a nice level.
I reckon we can do it, mate. I reckon we should trial it. Can you trial an umpire in the stand, mate, with the TV?
With a whistle.
It can happen. Well, look at Gridiron. They stop the game and they report from the grandstand, don't they? Number 15. Mark, it could happen, I reckon. We've spoken about this before. It might be weird, but we should try it.
It might correspond with my other plan, which is to try and get radio commentators to umpire.
All right.
Oh,
well,
no.
Let's have a go at it. Let's have a go.
Just one real quick one, because we're running out of time. I'm sure you are as well. Thursday nights. How many more Thursday nights games will we have next season?
I think the structure that we have at the moment, the season structure we have at the moment, has the potential to have one at the start of the season. And then when the bye systems or split round systems come in, you can certainly get one in each of those weeks. Once you've got a Thursday night and a Friday night game, you can effectively roll them on by keeping one of the Thursday night teams on Thursday and bringing one of the Friday night teams into the Thursday. But unless we were to change something around the days of break, it really does limit it to just that number. They've been tremendously successful. It's like having an extra Friday night game, and you're taking it away from one of the lower viewing spots on a Saturday. So it's a significant uplift in people who get to watch their teams play.
Mark, I can't believe that my colleagues here and myself have allowed 10 minutes of interviewing you to pass without asking you this question. I believe that Gillon McLachlan is now allowing AFL staff to bring their dogs to work for one day a week. Is that true, or is someone pulling my leg?
Can you believe that actually got such attention this week?
that's the big issue of the week.
It
might be the dogs allowing their staff to come to work.
Oh, please.
Belly.
Thanks, Mark.
I knew you'd like that one, Haggis.
Oh. Are you done, Haggis?
We've got Mark Evans. No, I've got 10 more.
Righto, well, come on. He hasn't got all day.
Rookie list next year. Will we still have a rookie list, Mark?
Been in discussions with the clubs and the Players Association about whether we continue to have the rookie list. When it was bought in, the rookies were paid, I think, probably $12,000, Belly. It was really quite low. That has gradually increased to be a reasonable wage. They certainly do all of the work of all of the primary list players, but they are precluded from playing unless there's an injury. The view from the clubs was, why don't we just have the one list and allow us to play whoever's in form?
Good idea.
We don't disagree with that. We're quite okay with it. It's just a matter as to whether it was to come in next year or not. I think it would be too late for it to come in next year.
And I guess just a quick comment. What a golden couple of weeks we have. We saw Boomer Harvey last night. We've got Corey Enright equaling Ian Nankervis's record. Sam Mitchell, Jimmy Bartel, Matthew Pavlich, 350, not far away as well. It's just a remarkable period right now, Mark.
It is, isn't it? And when you consider the demands of the game, and I suppose our fear 5 or 10 years ago was that the demands might mean we might have shorter careers, but hats off to the players themselves, but the clubs is the way they manage players and can extend their careers. I think it's sensational for us that you get such star attraction from supporters towards players, and the longer you can make their careers, the better.
Just last one for me. The bye going into the finals. I've been open and saying I don't like it. I think the clubs that get themselves into a position to enable them to rest 15 players, if they want to rest them, they're entitled to do that. Obviously, the AFL didn't agree. Is that something that you think you will persist with?
We haven't seen it play out yet, so it's called the celebration of football. I think the thing will be to try and keep as much content in there as we can. Certainly, it will be exciting for the teams that have made the finals. They've now got a week and a half to sell tickets to build up the excitement with their fan base. And let's see how it plays out. Hopefully it goes well.
We'll be able to watch the old boys run around. The EJ Witten launch yesterday with John O'Brien leading the Vics and Matthew Richardson leading the All-Stars. Thanks very much for your time this morning, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Mark.
Mark Evans.